I'm so glad that God is here with us. I'm so glad that He left heaven. The Bible says it's a little bitty Greek word pronounced kineo, and it means to empty. The difference of that word and our term empty is that it means to completely, totally empty Himself out of heaven. God became man. Aaron, thank you so much. You preached this message through music. And I can tell you, Aaron and I have not talked before she came here. But her choice of music could not have been more appropriate for what we must do and what we need to do as we look at the Scripture. So you turn to Luke, first chapter, Luke's Gospel. The doctor himself. Beginning in verse 39, I want to read these few brief scriptures to you about Elizabeth's Christmas confession. It starts off like this in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country of Judah with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and she said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears," Elizabeth said, "the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Wow. "Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." This is the Word of God. That's what He's told us today. But what is it about Elizabeth's confession, folks? Mary did not waste time getting to her kinswoman, Elizabeth. And the different translations, she's referred to as Mary's cousin, as Mary's sister. We do know one thing for sure. The word kinswoman is a little Greek word called sukenes. It doesn't even sound like cousin or sister or kinswoman for that matter. And we know that Elizabeth was of the tribe of Levi and Mary was of the tribe of Judah. So they could only have been relatives from her mother's side, hence a cousin. The journey from Nazareth, however, to Zechariah's home, and we often not think of that. We just read that she just showed up. But it was about a 4 to 5 day journey. About 80 miles on foot and donkey. Can you imagine? But Mary wanted to see Elizabeth. And the Bible says that she went with haste. Have you ever watched a squirrel when you are driving down the road and he's right there in front of you and he does this number back and forth trying to get away from you? I want to tell you, that squirrel is going with haste. He has a purpose. He wants to get out of your way one way or another. For some that doesn't happen. For most it does. My point is this, Mary went for a purpose, she didn't waste time, she took off and she got there 4 or 5 days later. And that purpose is she wasn't going for a friendly, casual visit. She had a specific reason for going, a specific, meaningful purpose, and she was going so that she could encourage Elizabeth, and Elizabeth could encourage her. You see, they both had similar situations. God had acted upon both of their bodies, performing a miracle for both of them. Elizabeth's womb was made alive for the son of Zacharias to be conceived, even in her old age, and Mary's womb had been readied to become the virgin birth mother of the God of this universe. Mary in particular needed that encouragement, for Elizabeth was what? You remember? Already 6 months pregnant. And the 6 months pregnancy was visible evidence that God had already acted in Elizabeth's life. But I want you to note something. Mary knew about Elizabeth's miraculous conception, but there is no record that tells us that Elizabeth knew about Mary. Zacharias and Elizabeth lived in Judah, our modern-day Hebron, the hill country of Judah. And when Mary came into Elizabeth's presence, the unborn John in Elizabeth's in the body, jumped, leaped for joy. And Luke further tells us, under his own divine inspiration, that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that Elizabeth began to speak with a loud voice. Now, what did Elizabeth say? What was so miraculous about the words of Elizabeth to Mary? When Mary entered the home and greeted her, it was at that very moment of Mary's greeting that Elizabeth's supernatural greeting began. Mary greeted Elizabeth, and the Bible says three specific things happened. Number one, the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. I remember when Connie was carrying Michael. Michael has always been one strong kid. But I can remember him kicking and watching Connie's stomach go like this and me feeling it and hurting Connie about almost breaking a rib. He was strong. The Bible uses the word kicked. It uses the word leap. In other words, it jumped. The baby jumped. The baby showed a response to the Son of God's mama walking into the room. The Bible says, and in the second place, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a specific prophecy given to her, because that's what Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then Elizabeth, once again, and the Bible says she spoke in a megaphone, loud voice. We get our word megaphone from that. It means to project. It means to make sure you are heard. In other words, Mary knew, Elizabeth knew, that when Mary walked into that room, something was profoundly, profoundly different. What Mary would recognize, and especially Elizabeth would recognize, is that what was profoundly different was this. Jesus is Lord, and He's in the womb of Mary. God was about to become man. Now that's the introduction. But there are three things I want to tell you this morning about what Mary said. They're very simple. But I think they're so simple, we can run over them and not see what they're saying to us today. And here's the first of Elizabeth's Christmas confession. It's found in verse 42. Elizabeth said this, "Blessed are you among women." She spoke with a loud voice. That's exactly what she said. And I want you to notice something about this. The very first act toward Christ was a proclamation of praise. Elizabeth was the first person to know about the birth of Christ other than Mary. And God saw to it that her first act would be to honor the Son of God. God would have His Son to be honored on earth just like He was honored in heaven. We forget sometimes of the sacrifice of praise. We don't praise God enough in our convenient spiritual walk that we have in the 21st century. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are His special, unique people, that you may proclaim" what? "The praises of Him who called you out of light, out of darkness into His marvelous light." The very first act of greeting of Elizabeth, "Mary, you're a blessed woman." Why? Because inside your womb is the Son of God. Folks, our life every day ought to be lived as a worship, an act of worship and praise to God. He's given us the ability to see. Some of us use glasses or contacts. He's given us the ability to breathe. He's given us the ability to taste, to look out, to enjoy the things of this life in terms of food. He's enabled us to live and have our health to be in this room today. We ought to be on our face praising God for who God is in our life. That's what Elizabeth did when Mary walked into the room. So the first order of business this Advent season, Elizabeth tells us to praise God. Elizabeth did it. We've been taught that theology which says in the book of Philippians, literally, let me read it to you. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but lowliness of mind and esteem each other. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others." And here were two ladies who had experienced the miracle of God. Here were two ladies who were humble, as incredibly humble humility could happen. And they were both encouraging each other, because in that living room stood the mother of the Son of God. Oftentimes, if you're like me, folks, I take for granted the fact that God became man. The omnipotent heavenly Father of this universe emptied Himself. Remember my word, or not my word, the Greek word kenao? It means God literally emptied every drop of Himself out of heaven, and God became man. The incarnation. Now think of the ramifications of that. God left the riches of heaven. He left it all for you and me. He came to this earth so that you and I would have a way out of our sin. He knew that He was the only way. What other expression does 21st century believers have today than what Elizabeth had when Mary walked into the room? Praise God! Don't forget the acrostic for grace. God's riches at whose expense, folks? Christ's expense. God gave it all up. It cost God everything. We cost God everything. He could not and He would not have called 10,000 angels on the day of His crucifixion to take Him down from that cross, because God left heaven to die for you and me. And let me give you the even more exciting news. If you had been the only one ever to live, the Bible says God would have died. I can't explain that kind of love, folks. I'm not worthy of it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not worthy of it in any way, form, or fashion. But God loves me not because I'm 5'7", 200 and some odd pounds, and I can go on and on with that. He loves me in spite of that. God knows I'm human. God knows I fall flat on my face. But God picks me up and says, "Well, Randy, let's try it again. But this time, if you'll just simply go the route I tell you to go, things will work out a whole lot better." You see, I always want to go my route and not praise God. But Elizabeth told us and told Mary, the first thing, blessed are you among women. This Christmas season, you know, last week I told you to go out and tell everybody Merry Christmas, and I hope you'll continue that. But you and all of us in this room, I hope we'll just leave here today and we'll just go out here and praise God. Sometime today, will you thank Him that you're breathing? Will you thank Him that you got a house to live in, bed to sleep in? Will you thank Him that there's food around? Because I deal with folks all throughout the week, right here in this community, who have no home, who have no food, and who doesn't even have their health. We need to praise God, folks. We're a spoiled generation, aren't we? You know? And that's what Mary told us. This is the second thing Elizabeth said to Mary, however. Not Mary, but Elizabeth.
The second thing is found in verses 43 to 44. And it says it like this: "But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord," listen to Elizabeth, "should come to me?" God had shown up at Elizabeth's house and said to her, guess what? Mary's coming to visit. And I believe when Mary got to that house, the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed that room, that Elizabeth knew that inside Mary's room was Jesus, the one and only Son of God. What did Mary say? She simply said this to what did Elizabeth say? She simply said this to Mary. And here it is. Jesus is what? Lord. Jesus is Lord. She called the baby in Mary's womb Lord. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. There was no question that Elizabeth was using the term Lord, Kyrios, in the highest sense. She was under the power of the Holy Spirit. She was confessing the truth under the influence of God that the baby inside Mary was the Christos, the Christ, the Messiah. And upon hearing the greeting of Mary as she entered the door, you heard what the Bible says, Elizabeth's heart leaped for joy, and the babe in her womb leaped much more than usual. Because folks, when God's presence is in the house, your heart is on fire because you know God's presence is right there with you. And folks, God is here this morning. Amen. Why do we know that? Because He simply told us He'd be. The Word says He would be. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it. That's all I need to hear. And He said, when God's people gather and confess me as Lord, I will show up. And He showed up in that living room. And He proclaimed through the words of Elizabeth to Mary, Jesus, Jesus, your Lord. Think of Peter. And I think of Matthew chapter 16. Simon Peter answered. Because Jesus had questioned His disciples. And then He looked right dead in Peter's eyes. And He looked down to his heart and He says, Peter, you know what all these other people are saying about me, but I want to ask you something. Who do you say that I am? And Peter looked up to Him. You're the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, son of Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. How in the world can you and I ever say and appropriate in our heart, Jesus is Lord? It's only one way, through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Pagan cannot say that. Oh, they can say the words, but that's all they are, is words. The only way you can know Jesus Christ is Lord is because you have had a personal, intentional experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord means nothing to a pagan society except through the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. I want you to listen to this. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You can't know Jesus is Lord without having a personal relationship. Over the years, so many people have put their faith in what we've termed fire insurance. They believe their decision simply to follow Christ keeps them out of hell. They conveniently, and we oftentimes do, forget about following Jesus as Lord. Why, so many people have even separated this understanding by saying to me over the last 40 years, Pastor, I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was young, but I didn't accept Him as Lord until I was an adult. I want to tell you something, folks. Who has sold you that lie? When you ask Jesus Christ into your life, you do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way you can approach Jesus is because what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. You can't even call Him Lord except through the power of the Spirit. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, just as Elizabeth exclaimed when Mary came to her house, you are proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want you to look deep within your life this Advent season. Have you proclaimed Jesus as Lord in your daily walk? I did Morris Lacey's funeral yesterday. I miss that guy. But you and I all in this room know one thing about Morris Lacey. Whenever you saw him here and out yonder, he was the same. That's just Morris. He loved Jesus. There was no pretense with Morris Lacey. There was no acting one way in church and acting another way outside. He was just Morris. Well, I hope they can say that about me when I go home. Folks, we just need to be Jesus this Christmas to so many people. Not only do we need to say Merry Christmas, we need to praise God. And we need to realize this morning what Elizabeth simply said and proclaimed once all over again that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's a third and final thing I want to tell you. It's found in verse 45. It says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord." Blessed is she who believed. There it is. Blessed is she who believed. The emphasis is on that word that you've heard me from this pulpit referred to many times in the Greek, pistuo. We translate it trust. It doesn't to mean simply that there is a God, that we believe there's a God somewhere. It means we have trust. As we were talking yesterday at the funerals, we were talking last Sunday in this worship service. There is joy in the life of the Christian. The pagan society can know happiness, but they can't know joy. Only a child of God can know joy. And what happens? Why do you know joy? It's because of the belief. Mary believed in the Word of God. Period. When Gabriel left her, Mary said, "Behold the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to what? Your Word." She believed God's Word. And ladies and gentlemen, Bible-believing Christians today have got to return to become a people of the book and believe this book from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't contain it. It is the Word of God. It is my authority for living today. It is God's gift to me and for you. It is infallible. It is authoritative. But it's inerrant. It was delivered to man without error. And man got a hold of it and messed it up. But let me show you something. God could not act in Mary's life until Mary believed God. You understand the implications for that? God could not and would not act in Mary's life until Mary believed God. Same thing as for Elizabeth. Same things for Randy. Same things for Karen and Ed, and I could go all around this congregation. We deal with such a sin of unbelief. We profess lip service, we believe God, but when it comes down to the brass tacks and we are faced with a decision of complete, total trust, so many are unwilling to give up control and give up their life and say, "Lord Jesus." Folks, do you really believe God? We must believe the Word of God. I wrote just a few scriptures. Luke 11:28. You see, more than me preaching a sermon, I believe the Bible speaks for itself in the Word. And listen to this. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Then I went to John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered, said, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Why? Because you believe God. John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done for you."
Mark chapter 8, verse 38, "For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father with his holy angels." The result of Mary believing the Word of God was that she would see the performance of God's promises, the things told to her. And folks, we must reassess our understanding of believing God. Even before His birth, Jesus was recognized as Lord, the Messiah of God. And such recognition comes from the humble priestly folks of that Judean hill country of which Zechariah was a part. It didn't come from the royal people of the nation's capital. It came from humility. And that's what God's expecting this Christmas season from all of us. This Advent season, humility. To understand and believe God, no matter what. True belief happens not because of a human instinct or something we do. Genuine belief happens as a result of the Holy Spirit's action in your life. So what did Elizabeth say? Number one, we need to make sure that our lives this Advent season are lived out in an extension of praise and adoration to God. Remembering God emptied Himself from heaven and became man. Praise Him. Thank Him. As Aaron's saying, "Emmanuel, God is right here." Second thing Mary reminded us, or Elizabeth reminded us of, is you confess Jesus as Lord, as Messiah. When you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and save you from your sin, He came into your life lock, stock, and barrel. Just like when He emptied Himself from heaven and became man, He left it all just for you. And when He came into your life at your personal invitation, He came into your life once and for all. He died for you once and for all. Confess Him as Lord, just like Elizabeth did to Mary. And then Elizabeth looked to Mary and said, "You make sure that you grasp the spiritual understanding of belief in God, because believing in God opens the door for God's action and blessing in your life. When we don't believe God, He cannot and He will not act." On Sunday, December the 22nd, 1996, a man by the name of Carroll Taylor was working on a paving crew and repairing Interstate 64 bridge over the Elizabeth River in Virginia. The road was icy, and a pickup truck slid out of control and hit Taylor, knocking him off the crane, off the bridge. The man fell 70 feet and hit the cold waters of the river below. His pelvis and some of his bones in his face were broken. Joseph Brisson, the captain of a barge that was passing by at that moment, saw Taylor fall, and quickly he had to make a life or death decision. He knew that Taylor would drown before he and the crew could launch their small boat and reach him, and the numbingly cold water and the strong currents of the river would kill him if he dove or dived in to rescue Taylor. But Brisson had a family, and Christmas was 3 days away. So the captain of that barge decided to risk his life for one man he had never met. He dived into the river. He swam over to Taylor. He grabbed hold of him. And he says, "Don't worry, buddy." He said, "I'll get you. You'll be okay." Brisson held Taylor's face above the water and encouraged him to keep talking. Then he took hold of a piece of wood in the water and he slid it under Taylor to keep him afloat. The current was so strong for them to swim to safely, and eventually the cold caused Brisson to lose his grip on Taylor. And Brisson wrapped his legs around the injured man's waist and he held on. And after nearly 30 minutes, the crew from the barge was finally able to reach the two men and pull them from the water into that small boat. Taylor, the man who had fallen, was hospitalized for broken bones, and Brisson, the hero, was treated for mild hypothermia. Brisson, the captain of the barge, told the Associated Press that he knew what he had to do when he saw the man fall.
He says, I've got a family. I thought about that. But he says, I thought about the fact of how every life is important. He said, I'm a Christian man, and I couldn't let anything happen to this man. So in that perilous rescue, Joseph Brisson showed us the very heart of God, and the God of love knows better than anyone else the tremendous value of being human. God became man. And the value of man's eternal soul. For even one person, Jesus was willing to leave the safety and the joy of heaven and give himself to save others. Just like the captain of the barge would jump in that cold, icy river to save a man he'd never met. That's exactly what Elizabeth was confessing to Mary. That's what Aaron just sang. That's what we've proclaimed this morning when the choir and the trio sang, look who just checked in. I'm so glad Jesus checked in. I'm so glad God left heaven to come down to this old icy, cold, numbing waters of earth to save us all from sin. What a confession, folks. That's Elizabeth's confession. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, once again, you've given us a challenge this week to do what Elizabeth did, but to those around us. Father, I thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. I thank you for Elizabeth and Mary. Father, they're not one of us in this room. We're not an Elizabeth, and none of us are a Mary. That was all a one-time experience. But Lord, what she proclaimed that day to Mary, we got to proclaim this week and throughout this Advent season. Transform us into becoming a person of praise like never before. Help us to understand and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Make sure, Father, as Elizabeth told Mary, that we understand the high, high, high importance of belief in God's Word. That this is not just some novel. This is not even just some history book, though the history is incredible. It is the Word of God. And Mary believed that Word. Elizabeth believed that Word. And God acted on their belief. Thank you for Christmas, Lord. Thank you for this time of the year where we can move outward from ourselves and give to others. But all of us in this room, Lord, just join our hearts and we say, Happy birthday, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. And Father, I know there must be in this crowd those amidst of us who've never intentionally invited you into their life. I pray, Lord, you'd give us the privilege this morning of introducing them to the Savior of the world. That little baby who didn't remain a baby, to live 33 plus years to go to a cross and take every sin we'd ever commit. And even the horrible, excruciating death of the cross and the sealed entombment of your body didn't hold you in there. And we worship today on Resurrection Sunday because that little baby in the manger, God became man to die for us, to be victorious over death, save us. To God be the glory. Happy birthday, Jesus. We love you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. At the beginning of our invitation this morning, I want us to sing that little chorus, I'll Say Yes, Lord. Would you stand to your feet? You know this. It's on our screen. And whatever you need to do with God, business, as we've been doing that throughout this entire service, because God is here. Perhaps if you need to come and pray, whatever is on your heart and needs to be done, I want you to do that right now. Daniel and Matthew and I are here, and we will be more than happy to talk to you in anything that's on your heart or pray with you. whatever you would want us to do. Would you sing that? Doug, lead us as we sing, and let's sing that little chorus together right
I'll
now.
I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.
Saying Jesus is Lord.
Wow.
And what that means.
I'll say yes.
Right.
Where you lead me, I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.
Sing that chorus again as a praise to God, as Elizabeth said to
Mary. I'll say yes, Lord.
Right.
I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes.
Saying yes to believing God.
Where you lead me, I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.